fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Yes, welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Over the last few weeks, I've been kind of following the readings of the church as we're in the season between Easter and Pentecost. This week is the fourth Sunday, the fourth week of Easter, and the great celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. And we see in this season, church takes us through the Acts of the Apostles and the growth of the church and how the church goes forward in the power of the Holy Spirit, really strengthened and empowered and moved by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, and how the apostles go forward in obedience to Jesus to preach, to bear witness to who Jesus is and his dying and his rising from the dead and his ascension into glory and to call the world to repentance. And it's just beautiful, beautiful stuff. And if you haven't had a chance to really read through the Acts of the Apostles, I'd encourage you to do it. Just grab it. It's in the New Testament. It's right after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's the story, and you see the characters that the way in which the Holy Spirit worked with the apostles and how Jesus formed and shaped them and led them and what the core of their message was and the resistance that they experienced as they went forward to proclaim the gospel, which you see is really part of the normal Christian life. Today, what I'd like to do is look at a reading from yesterday that we had at Mass. And it's from Acts chapter 4, verse 8 through 12. And it's just really the story. This little reading is a summary of the message that Peter proclaimed. You could call it Peter's kerygma, the core message that Peter wanted to proclaim to whomever he could, the truth about who Jesus is. And so here, this is clearly before the Sanhedrin, before the religious leaders. Again, this is the early part of Acts when, after Peter had healed the crippled man, big crowds gathered. As the crowds gathered, he proclaimed the gospel. Pope John Paul II encouraged the church to pray for an outpouring of signs and wonders, to pray for the grace of miracles that happened in the life of the early church and have accompanied the church throughout her history. But in our time, in a kind of very unbelieving time, in this very secular age, and there's a resistance to the miraculous, a resistance to believing in it, the rest of it. But really, Jesus said greater signs than the ones he performed would accompany those who believe. You'll see in the Acts of the Apostles here how, just as in the ministry of Jesus, when Peter preached, Acts 2, Peter said, you know, you knew Jesus. He's talking to the religious leaders. You saw that he worked signs and wonders and that God the Father was testifying to the truth of who Jesus is through the signs and the wonders that were worked. The signs and wonders are not the end-all be-all, but it's a dimension of what the Holy Spirit wants to work in his people. And there's a certain expectation I think we should have that the Lord wants to give signs that will accompany the preaching of the gospel that confirm the word that's being proclaimed about who Jesus is. And so Peter did that very thing as he gave witness and brought healing to the crippled man that was begging at the beautiful gate outside the temple as Peter and John were entering into the temple to pray. And that sign, the crippled man healed, caused quite a commotion and all kinds of people gathered around the apostles. Who are these guys? How did this happen? And so Peter proclaimed how it happened, and he bore witness to the truth that it was Jesus and in Jesus' name and the power of Jesus Christ that this man was raised, this man was healed. And so people began to believe them, and the religious leaders resisted. They were jealous, they were angry, they were frustrated, so they brought Peter and John before them. A couple of weeks ago, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I addressed this particular encounter with Peter, John, and the religious leaders. You could get it on our website at renewalministries.net. Just listen to them on the website right there on your computer. You could download them or put them on your iPod. Listen to them when it's convenient for you. So today's reading is just a simple section from Acts chapter 4, but a profound one, beginning in verse 8. Here's what Peter said when he was given a chance, and the religious leaders wanted to know, by whose authority have you done this? And who do you think you are? And what are you saying to the people, to our people? And here's Peter's words. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, that's the first sentence, it's important to see. Jesus said, told the apostles to wait in the upper room. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will be my witnesses. Luke chapter 24, Jesus told the apostles in his resurrection appearance, the account that Luke gives, he said, I will clothe you with power. He's going to give the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God will be poured upon all flesh. Jesus said, you will be clothed with power from on high, then you'll be my witnesses. So here's Peter, clothed with power, and he's about to give witness. This is what Jesus is empowering him in the Holy Spirit to say. This is the message the Holy Spirit wants the whole world to know. Leaders of the people and elders, if we're being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, and whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed. So Peter goes right to the heart of the matter. He said, you want to know why this crippled man is now healed? Peter uses the word saved. His body was healed, but he also became a follower of Jesus. He entered into salvation. And Peter's so bold. I mean, the religious leaders are not happy with Peter. They're angry. They're going to want to silence him. They're going to want to put the hurt on him in order to get him out of the picture. And the one thing they don't want is they don't want him to talk about Jesus and who Jesus is and who he claims to be and what he's accomplished. But here's Peter standing boldly now. This is not would not be considered an educated man, an educated leader. He's a fisherman. He was an ordinary man. A man who, when the hour of darkness came, he betrayed Jesus. He denied ever knowing who Jesus was. So he's a weak man. He's a man of the flesh. He's like you. He's like me. But here he is at this moment, standing before power. And he's confident. And he's bold. He says, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the one you crucified. So the one you crucified, you know he died. God raised him from the dead. This is the essence of Christianity. Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and a participation by all those who believe in him in that resurrection. Peter goes on, in his name, this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. This is quoting from the prophets. You are the religious leaders. The Messiah came among you, and you rejected him. He was establishing the kingdom of God. You, the builders, who were called to build alongside him, you rejected him. But the one you've rejected has become the cornerstone upon which the whole foundation is built. And that house is now growing. I can imagine Peter thinking the house that the king is building is growing all around you now. You, the builders, are meant to be a part of this. If you repent and receive, that's what Peter will say here. There is no salvation through anyone else, Peter said, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. That remains the Christian claim. There is no other Savior. The Catholic Church is very clear about this. Is it possible for someone who never hears the name, who doesn't know Jesus Christ, is it possible for somebody in that condition to be saved? Yes. But under particular conditions, when their ignorance of Christ is of no fault of their own. They've never heard the gospel. They haven't turned away from the gospel. They haven't closed their ears to it. They just have never heard it. And they are open to God's grace. They're open to the light that God reveals to their heart. God speaks to every conscience and gives light to every single human being. And to the degree that they've responded to the light, which only God knows, only God ultimately knows, if they've responded to the light and said yes to it, and responded with faith to that light, which requires supernatural grace, which requires God's help for them to even say yes, and they're following it with all their heart, that person can be saved. But are they saved because of their decision? Are they saved because of their willpower? What saves them? What saves them is Jesus of Nazareth. What saves them is Jesus, who is the true light that enlightens every man. He's the light that's come into the world. And to the degree that there's light revealed about God in nature, that there's light revealed to the human conscience, that even there's some dimension of light in other religions. The Catholic Church is clear. It's possible that light can be refracted through other religions, but the religions themselves, the content, their dogma, their doctrine, their key people, their leaders, cannot save. There's one Savior, that's Jesus Christ. He died on a cross, God's only Son. He shed his blood. He destroyed the power of the kingdom of darkness. Through his blood, he cleansed us. He became an expiation for sin. That means he became a sacrifice for sin. His blood purifies all who say yes to him, all who decide to follow him and receive the gift. And then he's the one who gives the Holy Spirit, which brings us from death to life, which puts within us the life of God. Muhammad can't do that. Buddha can't do that. You know, Scientology can't do that. Nothing but Jesus Christ can do that. That's why Peter's unequivocal here. He's saying there is no salvation through anyone else. Nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. There's been lots of confusion about that, even within the Catholic Church in some circles, and taking passages, for example, from the documents from the Second Vatican Council, Lumen Gentium 16, Gaudium et Spes 22, and others, and trying to say that we've come into a new understanding now in the Church somehow, that there's many roads to salvation, and that all the various roads that are out there are authentic roads to salvation, and that what the mission of the Church shouldn't be to make exclusive claims about Jesus, but simply to affirm people on the path that they've chosen for their life. As they follow their own bliss, they are going to enter salvation anyway. That's a lie. It's not true. It's not what the Council teaches. It's not what the Scripture teaches. It's not what the saints have taught us. It's not what the tradition has taught us. The Church's position on this has not changed, and it never will. There's only one who can save, the one the Father has given. It's Jesus. Jesus is the only Savior. And yes, it's possible for someone to be saved. And if they are, they will be saved by the blood of Jesus. And when they get to heaven, they're going to know it. That's the one I've sought my whole life. That's the one I've given my whole heart to. And it's by grace that they've been able to do that. There is no other Savior. There is no other way. So the Church stands under the authority of Jesus and is compelled by love to speak the name of Jesus to the whole world. That's why the Catholic Church exists, to extend the mercy of Christ, to extend the mercy of Jesus for the salvation of others. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.